In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at the time who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? "Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman." So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a great large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The boy has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That may seem like an insignificant amount, but it's not, really. It's a grocery sack full of food. Think of how many peanut butter sandwiches you can make with 5 loaves of bread, or in this case, how many fish sandwiches you can make. It was certainly more than enough food to feed the boy and his family, as well as several other families, too. The only reason this becomes an insignificant amount is because there are 5,000 men, plus women and children on that grassy plain who are hungry, and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish certainly doesn't seem like enough to satisfy them all. Of course, it is a child, a little boy, and no adult, who shows up with the food. The adults are busy lamenting the fact that everyone is hungry and there is not enough food to feed them. But the boy brings his food to the Lord in faith, seemingly oblivious to the fact that this little bit of food will be unable to put a dent in the hunger of the great crowd. Unlike the adults, he doesn't see the problem. Of course, this is a bit of speculation on my part, since all we're told in the text is that Andrew has come to the knowledge that there is a boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Maybe Andrew and the other disciples went through the crowd frantically searching for food and just happened upon this boy. But I like to think that the boy approached our Lord's disciples knowing they were looking for food and said to them, "Here's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Give these to Jesus and have him feed the people." Whatever the case, I do not think that it is a mere coincidence that the one who has the food and offers it is a boy, a child, rather than an adult. I think this is just another example of what our Lord taught on many occasions, namely that unless we become like little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. What adults see as impossible and futile, children have no problem trusting and believing that with God all things are possible. When the Israelites quickly began grumbling after being miraculously delivered from slavery in Egypt by the Lord, I doubt very seriously that the children were joining in on the grumbling. I bet instead the children were still thinking about how awesome it was that the Lord had miraculously parted the Red Sea for them to escape. Likewise, when the Lord, out of his infinite compassion, mercy, and grace, continued to provide for his grumbling, unthankful people by raining down miraculous manna from heaven for them, I doubt that the children were the ones who came up with the idea eventually that they should gather more than they needed and hoard it away in their tents, just in case the Lord happened to go back on his promise and fail to provide the next day. I bet rather the children among them simply trusted that the Lord would provide. This is how it is with children, isn't it? They simply believe. They simply trust. They don't worry about the costs, and they don't spend their time thinking about whether this or that is feasible or possible. Everything is possible for them, and certainly everything is possible for God in their estimation. He's God. What can't God do? Maybe then we have things backwards. Maybe what our congregational constitution should say is that once you turn 13, you are no longer eligible to participate in the voters' assemblies and make decisions on behalf of the congregation. I wonder how things would go. Probably a lot of time spent on what kind of snacks we'd be getting every Sunday. Which is why I'm not actually advocating for this, just making a point. We actually do need the adults to make the temporal plans and decisions for the congregation, as they have the reason and experience necessary to do so. But I bet the children would be less obsessed about the things we adults obsess over and far less worrisome than we adults are, corrupted by the world as we have been. But what I will say on this score, with all seriousness, is that we adults could learn from the little boy in the gospel and from the children in our midst about the Christian faith. Our Lord Jesus puts them before us as an example for a reason. He's not just goofing around when he tells us to become like them and that his kingdom belongs to such as these. He's teaching us snarky know-it-all adults who are so quick to grumble and so eager to worry and so prone to doubt and so eager to gossip and complain and grumble and all that stuff. He's teaching us to stop it and just to trust in him. For the truth is that we are obsessed over things for which we shouldn't be, and we do worry about things we shouldn't. If we were in that crowd on that grassy plain long ago, our bellies would have gotten the best of us too. We would have been like Philip and Andrew, failing to believe that Jesus could possibly provide for so many people with so little food. And if we were among the Israelites in the wilderness, we would have readily grumbled along with them, despite all the miracles the Lord had done right before our eyes. I know this to be true, dear friends, because we obsess and worry and grumble and complain all too often today, even though our Lord has continuously visited us with the miraculous means of grace he provides through which he feeds and sustains us. Repent. The Lord will provide. He always has. He always will. That's what he does. He is compassionate and merciful and gracious and loving. That's who he is. He has provided everything we need for our eternal salvation. For while we were still obsessive, worried, grumbling, complaining, doubting sinners, he died for us. Even for us. Even for those who hated him and mocked him and beat him and falsely accused him and rejoiced over the abuse, suffering, and death he experienced. Not only has our Lord provided everything we need for our eternal salvation, but he also provides all that we need for our temporal lives here in this vale of tears. It may not be all that we want or desire, but it is, for most everyone here this morning, far more than enough. Where our Lord allows real suffering from famine and disease to occur in our sinful world, he does so for the sake of the gospel, that through that suffering, he would bring sinners to rely upon him. It is no mere coincidence that the gospel is received with greater eagerness and thanksgiving precisely in those parts of the world where suffering is increased, like in Africa today, for example, than in the places where prosperity resides, like here in the good old U.S. of A., where even during tough economic times, most people have way more than they actually need. Just watch all those reality shows, Hoarders and American Pickers and all those shows. Americans have stuff, lots of stuff, way more stuff than they need. And so it is far easier to become like little children, dependent upon your Heavenly Father, when you have very little than it is when you already have more than you need. Something about a camel going through the eye of a needle comes to mind. We can learn from this little boy, who provides the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish this morning, dear friends in Christ, as well as from the children our Lord has blessed us with in our congregation. We can learn from them what faith looks like. Faith doesn't obsess over or worry about worldly things. Faith doesn't weigh the odds and wonder whether this or that is possible for the Lord. Faith believes. Faith trusts. Faith clings to our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he will provide. And there is also this lesson for us here this morning. Faith gives. Faith gives without worrying about what we might get in return. For faith realizes that we have already received eternal blessings from our Lord. This little boy gives all that he has, trusting that our Lord will provide. And notice this, that it is this little boy's offering that our Lord uses to provide for the great crowd and feed them that day. Our Lord goes up on the mountain, sits down with his disciples, and waits for the offering to be brought by which he will provide for and feed the people. It is the same today. He uses the gifts rendered by you in this congregation to provide for and feed his people from this font, pulpit, and altar. The bread and the wine he uses in Holy Communion must be provided for by his people. Likewise, the heat and electricity and the candle oil and the hymnals and the vestments and the water and everything else that makes it necessary, that is necessary for gathering together in this holy place to receive the divine gifts our Lord longs to give us, are only made possible by the gifts given by you. This is how you exercise your faith and participate in God's kingdom. Your giving, your service, your contribution to the Lord here is blessed by him and used by him to feed his people. The faithful give, and the Lord blesses and multiplies their giving so that he might provide for sinners in need, like you. Faith gives out of thankfulness for what faith has received. For it is our Lord who first gives and blesses his people so that they might give back a portion of the gifts and blessings they receive from him so that he can feed and sustain his people. Don't ever think that your part in our Lord's kingdom is insignificant. That 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish were not insignificant. What you give is significant. Our Lord uses it to feed us. But while we can learn these lessons this morning, the most important lesson for us here is that the Lord miraculously provides for his people. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. We shall not want. The miraculous raining down of manna in the wilderness among the Israelites pointed forward to the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 we hear about today. And both of those miracles point forward to the ongoing miracle of the Holy Supper, through which our Lord feeds his people upon heavenly food. His very body and blood, the same body and blood he gave and shed on the cross, which has become for us the tree of life. Here too, though, we must become like little children and simply believe that what our Lord says he does, even though it makes no sense and defies explanation according to our sinful human reason, especially among us adults. Along those lines, I've shared this many times, but I believe the most grievous error we Lutherans have committed, especially since arriving here in America and allowing Protestants to influence us, has been to withhold the Holy Supper from our children until they're snotty know-it-all teenagers and have completed the rite of confirmation. Just think about it. We have turned the reception of the sacrament into a prize for our children to earn. Imagine that. Lutherans, come on. Here is the greatest gift we can receive, this side of heaven, and we keep our children from it, making them earn it. I guarantee you that no children had a part in arriving at this particular decision. It was most definitely the adults who rationalized it by claiming that the children just can't understand it and shouldn't be receiving it until they can. You know, like us. Of course, the response to that nonsense, and it is nonsense, is that if receiving the Holy Sacrament shouldn't happen until one understands it, then no one should ever, ever receive it. Reception of the Holy Sacrament is not dependent upon having the right amount of cognitive and intellectual knowledge, but upon the simple belief that Jesus gives what he says. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you. And given that our Lord Jesus tells us that we must become like little children, saying, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God," I'm going to go ahead and believe with him that children are fully capable of that simple belief. In fact, probably a lot more capable than us know-it-all adults. Thankfully, things are changing in this area as more and more of our congregations are finally separating First Communion from the human rite of confirmation and bringing their children to the altar far earlier, like we have done here at Peace. But we have a long way to go. Dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus is our shepherd. We shall not want. He has brought us to the still waters of the baptismal font and restored our souls here in the green pastures of his holy church. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. That is, he clothes us with his own holiness and righteousness that we could be declared forgiven and righteous. He guides us by the rod of his law and the staff of his holy gospel. And although we remain in the wilderness of this sinful world, this valley of the shadow of death, he continues to prepare a table before us in the midst of our enemies. And from this holy table, he feeds and sustains us with holy food, his very body and blood. And so, surely mercy and goodness will follow us all our days, and we shall dwell in his eternal kingdom forever. Let the little children come to me, Jesus says. Indeed, dear friends, let us all come this day to the holy altar as little children, with the simple belief that what our Lord Jesus says to us is true, though we do not understand it. For here, at this table, we receive the heavenly manna of his body and the cup of salvation that is his blood, and our cup runneth over. For his compassion, grace, mercy, and love toward us never run out. Therefore, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast. And be glad when they say to you, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, Almighty Father, we give you thanks and praise for your kindness to us and to all creation. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Your care and love for our lives never fails. In the confidence of your infinite mercy through Jesus Christ, we are bold to make our prayers. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant us good and faithful servants to minister in your church. Bless Matthew, our synodical president, David, our district president, Michael, our circuit counselor, Thomas, our pastor, and all pastors in Christ. Continue to raise up for us faithful and humble pastors to serve as under-shepherds of your beloved Son. Take care of their needs and give them your peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Most merciful Father, quiet the grumbling of your people. May we sorrow over our sinful condition and yearn for relief at your hand. Indeed, we are most wretched. Give us new, tender hearts, eager to help, heal, exhort, and comfort all in need, just as we ourselves have been comforted by you. And fill us with thankfulness and generosity, that we might give cheerfully to support your mission and ministry among us and throughout the world, even as you have given everything necessary for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Ruler of all, grant us good public servants. Bless our president, our governor, and all national and local officials and magistrates, that they might serve according to your will. Bless all who labor as soldiers, aviators, sailors, police officers, firefighters, and emergency responders for the safety, order, and well-being of our country. Especially we remember Gabriel Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Schauer. Encourage them in their sacrifices that they may love you and the neighbors whom you have given them. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we and all those preparing to receive the Lord's Supper may with contrite, believing hearts recognize under the bread and wine the very true, blessed body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken, crucified, killed, buried, and raised for the forgiveness of all our sins. And grant that we may be healed and strengthened by this heavenly food. Lord, in your mercy. Look with favor upon the anguished, the sick, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, the unemployed, and the grieving, and especially upon those who have requested our prayers, including Donna Bebo, Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Charlotte Dargy, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Cole, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G., Sherry Shaw, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, Robin Carter, Jeanne Weiser, Dan Freed, Thelma Prussner, Rosemary Reichart, Roy Brackett, and Nathan Elliott. Bless them as only you can. Giving them their daily bread, and console them also with the knowledge of your sure and present mercies. You have most certainly promised that you will never forsake them on account of your Son who was forsaken on our behalf. We offer to you these requests for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks.
Truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you all your days. Amen.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Thank you.
precious, true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Favor and give you peace.